written in these streets of gold. So if you ever wonder how...
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning. Welcome. It is time for Wednesday Live again. And here I am in the studio with David Francoeur, well known around here as being a host of a couple of really great programs.
Well, yeah, praise God for that. We'll give him the glory. You know.
Amen. You start the week out Monday mornings at 11 o'clock, and that's you have right. A program called?
Called The Front Line.
Front Line, and it is on The Front Line. I know a lot of you are tuning into that. You know, David, our part of our vision here is at 11 o'clock every day to have live stuff going on. Yes. So you're also in here on Tuesday because you don't get enough on Monday. So you're back on Tuesday, and you move from The Front Line to where?
To A Biblical Response.
A Biblical Response.
Yeah, we look at...
What's that all about?
Well, there are issues in the news that upset people, frighten them.
Yes, this
is
true.
A lot of stuff going on, and so we take maybe one item, and we'll look at what's going on through the lens of the Bible. And we'll often dive deep, you know, behind the issues, see what's going on there. And again, it's the Word of God is important for us to understand not just what's going on, but how we are to respond to it. So that's what that program is all about.
You have a growing audience, and you had a couple callers yesterday, right?
Yeah, we opened up to the phone call, you know, and we've had people call in.
They were happy.
They were happy. They were.
That was good.
Where we've on occasion had people that weren't, but you know, we welcome comments either, you know, for or against what we're doing. You know, it's
well, there is that scripture. It says the Word of God is sharp.
Yes, it is sharp.
And it can cut, it can penetrate, it can divide, even be, you know, sounds like splitting the joints, right?
And sometimes
you know, when we hear the Word of God, it comes as a corrective word to us. And so, yeah, that's a great program, Dave, and you address the culture from a biblical perspective and really call the culture to account and the daily news to step into the Word of God and find out what God has to say. It's a great program. Yeah. Of course, Karen Hubbard, our own hostess of the Hidden Places on Friday, 11 o'clock as well. We're here on Wednesday every week, and we are so glad that you're joining us today. And we do have a guest in studio, and we're going to be welcoming Kevin in just a moment. Kevin is with Youth for Christ. And it looks to me like he's in charge of some things, so we're going to give him an opportunity to be on really good behavior today as the executive director in the Treasure Coast, executive director in the Treasure Coast for the past 2 years, Youth for Christ. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But we do have a couple things I need to just make mention of. One, there is an event coming up. It is Night of Action for Liberty and Justice, and this is actually being sponsored to mobilize the church to wake up the city, take a stand for liberty and justice right here in Martin County. This is coming up. Dave, when is this? I know I'm looking right at it. The date, it's going to be held at Revive Church, 8851 Old Kansas Avenue, the 14th of September.
That's Sunday, the 14th.
5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So this is going to be a great evening event that is going to give opportunity for the body of Christ to connect in a meaningful way, to get their faith outside the four doors or four walls of your house and maybe your job and maybe your church and get into the marketplace. A great event that's going to be coming up. We're going to be talking more, and actually we have some spots running, David, about Aaron Abu.
Yes.
Who is going to be coming in with a couple of friends from the Miami Sound Machine, going to be a concert at the Lyric Theater. They're raising money for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. And Aaron, who also goes by Jerry, is he's a part of the Kingdom of God. He Amen. Is from this area. And he actually received awards for, I believe, having the top position in the world mm-hmm. for his sax. He, as a brother, he does do some secular, and it's a great opportunity to reach out, build relationships. But I believe the listeners are going to hear him share a little bit about his life mm-hmm. and how God is everything to him. And he might even sneak a couple sacred songs in there at the Lyric that mm-hmm. evening. And that's coming up 10:30. Into the month
October.
Yeah, October the 30th. So that's coming up. And you could actually go to the Lyric Theater's website here in Martin County, and you could purchase tickets for that. We have a couple really important things coming up also that I have to make mention of. This week on Friday morning, if you are a senior pastor or senior lead spiritual leadership in your church, you need to hear about this. There's going to be an event at Grace Emmanuel Church Friday morning coming up this week, and we are going to have Eric. Is it Defen?
You got me.
Well, we'll get the details on it, but it's coming up this week on Friday morning, Grace Emmanuel Church, 7:30 in the morning, Defenbach. He is going to be bringing a tremendous message to we as leaders. And his point is this: he's worked with the governor, he was on staff with the governor, and worked with developing the faith movement throughout the state of Florida, and also worked with Casey, the governor's wife, in regards to some of those events that took place. He's also worked with Tim Tebow and some of developing some of the services and ministries that Tim Tebow has. But now he's working in the state of Florida, and he's looking to see the churches. They've targeted 17,000. I believe they're all evangelical churches in the state of Florida. And if just on key important issues we could speak the same thing, it would make a huge difference in the state of Florida. And mm-hmm. we thank God for our state, thank God for our leadership, our governor, and all who are here. But we know that if just two or three will agree that God is able to do great things in such a great way. And if we can bring the body of Christ together for a moment, we just had Amendment 4. It was a big deal, but we barely turn that down.
Yeah.
That almost made it through. And all we need is for the body of Christ to get connected. And it reminds me of trying to build the wall and all the enemies coming in to fight against that. Mm. And, they ended up saying, listen, if the enemy attacks in your quadrant down there, blow the bugle, blow the ram's horn, let us know. We'll run to your aid. And this is what we need. We need to know how to connect when there are national or state events that we can make a difference in. So that's coming up. But the 25th of September, you're going to want to write that down, the 25th of September, Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is just the sponsor. But this is going to be a great event. It's going to be held right here in Martin County this year. And we have Paul Wilbur, who is an awesome psalmist, messianic man of God, gifted. He's coming with his team, and we are going to stand on the covenant of God with Israel. We're going to stand with Israel. It's going to be a tremendous night. of prayer, intercession, and worship. It's going to start at 6 o'clock with prayer, 7 o'clock. Paul Wilbur and his team's going to, they're going to move in and begin to lead us. And so Paul's going to be with us. It's going to be meeting right here in Palm City at New Hope Church. They're making their facilities available to the Treasure Coast of Florida. $10 is the recommended donation for a ticket. If you can give more, that would be a blessing. Make a way for some who may not have the 10 bucks, but I think most of us could find that. And you're going to want to get tickets. Go to TCC Alliance, tccalliance.com, and you can actually get your ticket there, 772-324-9313. And you know what? We're going to give away some tickets today for that event later in the program. Don't call now. I'm not giving tickets away right now. But I want to just give a shout out to Sophie, who the first week received a couple tickets. Son last week received a ticket. And so I believe Son may have been from the other coast of Florida, saying she's going to be over here for this I Stand With Israel event. So that's pretty awesome, and we got a ticket out to her. So if you are interested in a couple tickets to the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, we will have those available later. But you've got to listen all morning to Wednesday Live. No, just for the rest of this hour. All right, I want to welcome Kevin, who is with us from Youth for Christ. Kevin, pull that mic up and join us here at the table. Great to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Let's get your mic up so everybody can hear you out there. There we go. All right. And so, Kevin, we want to just start. Who is Youth for Christ? We have listeners that have never heard of Youth for Christ. I don't know how they couldn't have, but some haven't.
Sure. Youth for Christ is an organization that's central focus is to reach lost 11 to 19-year-olds with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great mission.
Absolutely.
Great mission. And so Youth for Christ is active where?
So we are actually an international organization.
Wow.
And here in the United States, we have chapters across the United States, and we have one right here in the Treasure Coast based out of Indian River.
Okay, and that is where you serve as the executive director.
Yes.
So how many campuses are impacted here in the Treasure Coast or on the East Coast, at least we can say, with Youth for Christ? Any idea?
Sure. So in Indian River County, we have 7 ministry sites where we do ministry, and we have several chapters of Youth for Christ across the East Coast of Florida all the way down to Miami. We have Palm Beach. We're the furthest north one right now.
Wow, that is really awesome. And so, who is Kevin? Is it Kroeter?
Kroeter.
Kroeter. Kevin, who are you? why do you do what you do? How did you get here?
Oh, that's a great question. I think who I am today is really a product of who I was growing up. I grew up in a non-Christian home. In fact, a Jewish home, but a largely agnostic Jewish home. So,
okay.
Never really even said a prayer as a young person.
Really?
Unless things got so out of control, I lobbed up a prayer in case there was somebody listening up there. And when I was 16 years old, had just a crisis point in my life, didn't see much value in my life at all, didn't know who I was, didn't have any purpose, and it's at that same time where I was at the lowest point in my life that God used a Youth for Christ representative in New York, where I lived, to speak to a group of Christian students about taking seriously the Great Commission on their school campuses with their peers. And I'm thankful to the Lord that he put it on the heart of one of my friends to reach out to me and share her faith and share the gospel with me. And the Lord took that and used that and brought me to faith in Christ. And my first vocational ministry position right after school was back with that Youth for Christ chapter, serving in the same community in which I grew up. So most of my adult life has been vocational ministry, and the Lord just brought me back full circle to Youth for Christ ministry 2 years ago.
Wow. Okay, you've unloaded a lot of stuff there, and we want to move on to cover a lot of other things, so we have a lot to cover this morning. But just mentioning you were raised in a Jewish home, And I think maybe a lot of us who are not raised in a Jewish home think that everyone who's raised in a Jewish home has a strong relationship with prayer, with the temple, with Judaism. That's not the case.
No, in fact, my grandfather and his family came out of World War II Europe, and so there was a strong identity of Jewishness because of what the family has suffered.
So national identity.
National identity, but I think also a result of just that time period and its effect on the family, there wasn't a deep sense of worshiping the Lord, praying, having that relationship with God, even in that Jewish context.
Wow. And so you were open. You were reachable.
Yeah, yeah. I think God had brought me to a breaking point where maybe at that time in my life I wouldn't have been thinking about these things, but I knew I needed something. And God was obviously the thing that I needed and made that happen.
16 years old.
16 years old.
And so you were just invited to go to what?
So
this girl invites you.
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine invited me to hang out with her on a Sunday. And I said, wait a second, you never hang out with Sunday because you go to church. And she said, absolutely, you're going to come to church with me and then we're going to hang out.
Wow, what a great invitation. So that really was the open door. Did you make a decision that day to follow Christ, or was that just one of several days? And
that's a great question. So I heard the gospel for the very first time, at least that I was aware of.
Thank God they gave the gospel, right?
Amen. So in that moment, I mean, what I now know is the Holy Spirit convicting me, drawing me. I knew there was something to this. I had to know if it was true. I spent the next couple days praying, reading the Bible, asking questions of anybody I could get a hold of. And it was actually at a small group meeting at that same church on Thursday where I committed my life to Christ.
Wow, that is awesome. Okay, Youth for Christ, you're on campuses, and how does it work?
Sure. Well, we, again, are a missions organization. That's our preeminent goal, is to reach 11 to 19-year-olds with the gospel. And we're very thankful that in this area, we have access to reach students where they spend most of their time outside of the home, which is in the local schools. And so we have our Campus Life program that facilitates our relational evangelistic efforts on middle school and high school campuses throughout the area.
So undeniably, this is who you are, this is what you do, and you are on the campuses right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida bringing the gospel. Now, what is required for a group to be in a local school?
Sure. So we operate under the same student-led organization policy that schools have for any number of extracurricular activities. So we have Christian students who sponsor the club as a student leader. And then our team comes in at their invitation to facilitate this Campus Life program in the hopes of reaching as many non-Christian students as possible.
So you're missional. Your whole purpose really is to introduce people to Christ. How does this work with churches, with believers in the community?
Yeah.
Who helps you?
Absolutely.
You're one guy here. There's a lot of students out there.
Oh, yeah. We need a lot of help. So we have a small staff, but we have an army of wonderful adult volunteers that come from various different churches, denominations. It is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ coming
together. Wow, that is great.
Yes. So we have, and any number, and any school will have perhaps one staff member and five or six volunteer leaders along with them.
Wow, that is super. So in order for there to be a group on campus, there has to be what?
A student leader.
So you have to have a student, and yeah. These often come, I'm sure, from the local churches.
Absolutely.
Someone, you know, so the vision needs to get out to pastors, youth leaders. You know, probably youth leaders know all about this, but maybe not all. But really need to call forth in those kids a call upon their life to be active and activated on their campus to do something like this, right?
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
One of the great things is, so our preeminent goal, of course, is to reach non-Christians, but this is an opportunity to empower, equip students to reach their peers.
And students need to have that fellowship, and they need to have that opportunity to bring the gospel to their friends, and this definitely gives that opportunity. So on the campuses, that's where the ministry is taking place. I love the point that it is missional. You had mentioned earlier, we had talked, that you basically have a ratio that's established so that every student that comes can have some personal interaction and personal touch. How does that work?
Yeah, so as opposed to, you know, the ministry philosophy of bring as many people in, preach the gospel, and hope it sticks, we are in it for the long haul. So we want to develop authentic Christ-sharing relationships with these students. And in order to do that, we need a good enough ratio to make sure that each student is known, is heard, is seen, and has the opportunity to build it, to establish a significant, substantial relationship with a Christian adult leader. So we have a 6-to-1 student leader ratio.
So what happens when the kids come in? Okay, you have new students, I'm sure, coming all throughout the year, right? Because you have an activated group of believers that's out. They're fishing. they're looking to introduce Christ to their friends. So how does that work?
Absolutely. So we first of all set up an environment on campus where every student feels welcome, regardless of what they believe, how they live.
How do you do that?
Sure. So first of all, our leaders understand as they come in the door that this is not a midweek youth group. This is the mission field.
So it's not church.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
It's the mission field. And so what we do, first of all, of course, we get the kids excited. We've got games. We've got candy. We've got all the usual suspects of a youth ministry.
Right.
But then we break up into small groups. This is where that 6-to-1 student leader ratio comes in. We'll have 6 students with one small group facilitator in the club. And the students are asked questions around topics that are relevant to them that all students can speak to. And we're not here to correct them or change their view. At this point, we want them to just be able to think deeply about these questions and be able to share their perspective so that we can learn their story and where they currently are at. And then at the end, we have one of our leaders come up and give what we call a wrap-up, which is the biblical perspective. And so the hope is throughout this, they're seeing some of the holes in their worldview and their presuppositions and their perspectives coming in. And when it's countered with the biblical worldview, they're starting to see the wisdom of God, and they're starting to see examples from Scripture. And so all these dots are connected through this process.
So it's not an in-your-face, confrontational, judgmental, condemning approach. It's relational. I think you mentioned even relational evangelism, didn't you?
Yes, absolutely.
What does that mean?
Sure. So again, as opposed to just kind of preaching the gospel one time and hoping it sticks, students have multiple opportunities, both to hear the gospel articulated, but also to see lives transformed by the gospel through their leaders. And as this progression in their relationship is happening, trust is developed, and they have the opportunity to open up more and ask harder questions. And so through that, God does his work of drawing students to himself.
So it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It takes time. You all are in, you had mentioned that sometimes a student may be involved over several years. And so this really is awesome. So it's evangelism, it's missional, it's focused on bringing the gospel to the campus. So why campus ministry? Is it effective? Do you have any stories? Is there anything? What can you tell us? Somebody's listening today saying, I can't see that working.
Sure. Yeah, it seems like a daunting task. It seems like, would the kids be receptive? But they absolutely are. In fact, this generation is so desperate for people to love them, to take an interest in them.
Wait a minute. Say that again. This generation is
desperate for people to love them and take an interest in them. Mm-hmm. And I would argue they're desperate for truth. They're desperate for hope. They're desperate for the Lord, even if they don't know that is what they need.
So they're on a search, even though they don't know they're on a search.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell us a story.
Oh, sure. So we had a student that just recently graduated at the end of the last school year, and Again, I only came in 2 years ago, so I've only known her as a student leader, a devout Christian, plugged in both at our campus life programs and at her local church. But she spoke at one of our events last year, and I got to hear more of her story. And she was invited to campus life several years ago by a friend of hers. But she knew that it was a Christian-affiliated club, and that she was worried about being judged. She knew that her worldview, her beliefs, her actions were at odds with what Christians believed, and she was afraid that stepping into that room was going to get her judged and marginalized, like she felt so often in other contexts. Well, eventually, after a couple months, she accepted that invitation and came in and was just blown away by the interest her leaders took in her, by the fact that they allowed her to speak and they listened and they remembered what she had to say. They continued to pursue her. And the walls started to come down, and she recognized that, wait a second, there's some problems with the way I'm thinking about things, and this might be true. And if this is true, then this is the hope that I've been looking for. And through that process, the relationship with her leader and some of the student leaders, she put her faith in Jesus, got plugged into the local church, and has just been blessed and has been a blessing to so many others.
Well, that's awesome, and I'm sure that there's many stories that tie in with this. What is the relationship of campus ministry to the local church and to how that works?
Oh, absolutely. So we work in partnership and not competition, in partnership with the local church. We couldn't do what we do apart from the local church. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, one of the beautiful things about this ministry is just having the opportunity to see so many people from various churches gathering together to serve the Lord together.
I love it.
In ministry. Such a beautiful picture of the body of Christ doing what it was intended to do.
Yeah.
And so one of the wonderful things about this is not only does it give practical opportunities for people in the local church to serve on mission locally, but also our leaders then are conduits back to their churches, because we're not looking for converts. We're looking for lifelong followers of Jesus. And so it is essential that new believers, as students, you know, give their lives to Christ, as they start walking this journey of discipleship, that they get plugged into the local church. And it's usually at the invitation of one of their leaders that students get plugged back into a local church for discipleship.
Wow, that's awesome. So how do you promote who you are on the campus? And I haven't been on a high school campus in a while. So, I mean, my son went to private Christian school, a whole different world. And maybe a lot of our listeners are like me. We drive past middle schools, elementary schools, high schools, and even colleges, and don't really stop to think of that as a mission field in my community.
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, for adults that are looking to get involved, we would love to hear from you. You know, we reach out by phone or our website at yfcirc.com. We would love to help you get connected in that way. But for our students to find out about campus life and what's going on and how to get plugged in, the schools have been very open to allow us to advertise in the usual channels that student-led clubs and other extracurriculars do.
Okay.
So we're at Club Expo at the beginning of the year, orientations. We try to foster great relationships with the local schools. And so we'll do bagels and coffee for the faculty and the administration at the beginning of the school
Excellent.
Year. We have a prayer event every year. In fact, we just had our 11th one at Vero Beach High School's main campus.
Excellent.
And we're part of the faith-based leaders group of the Indian River School District. And so I believe that having the foundation of those relationships removes a lot of the mystery and the fear and the doubt and helps them to trust us, because maybe even if there's individuals that aren't aligned with our preeminent goal of evangelism, they see the benefits to their students having walked with our leaders in these mentoring relationships.
That's awesome. I was just wondering what happens in the families. You have a student, they come, they're exposed over time, their life has changed. What happens in the house when they go home?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we have stories probably across the entire spectrum, both those that weren't very happy that their child's choice to be a part of this club or even to give their life to the Lord, But we've also had wonderful things that we've celebrated, including at Imagine South Vero. One of our leaders have been pouring into a non-Christian student, led the student to faith in Jesus. The student invited the student to come to church, which he did. And then the next week, one of his family members did. And a little while later, his whole family did.
Wow.
And it wasn't long before they gave their lives to the Lord and were baptized in that same church.
That is beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. So you have on campus, you have off campus events too?
Absolutely. So when you think about the Campus Life Club on campus, it's really it's the net, it's the starting line, it's the place where those relational those relationships are begun. And then they're deepened off campus through what we call relational ministry actions. So our leaders are encouraged to schedule one-on-one appointments with the students in their small groups. We have events like building times, which are shared experiences, whether it's laser tag at a local church or guys and girls nights or dodgeball event. And we do these things to deepen relationships between leaders and students, as well as between students and students.
And that would actually bring more than one school together at these events, to where you could have Youth for Christ attendees from several campuses coming together.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things that we've been doing the last couple of years is also having one of our church partners at many of these building times, so that they could also be introduced to a local pastor
church.
And some students at a youth group. And hopefully that'll help them be integrated into a local church.
So what is a church partnership? How does that work? Or sponsorship? How does that work?
Oh, absolutely. We have so many wonderful church partners, and we are looking for more because, again, we are meant to work in concert together, in partnership together for the kingdom of God. And our existing church partners, every partnership looks different. There's some that don't have the capacity to serve with us, but we're on their missions budget.
Okay.
We have some that don't have the capacity to give, but they open up their space and host our events. We have others that mobilize teams of volunteers or invite us in to do presentations. But I appreciate all of them, but I think the thing I celebrate the most is those church partnerships that welcome our kids and want to disciple them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So how does a listening family, what can parents say to maybe the student that's not excited about going to youth group at church? They're in school, they're on the campus. How can Christian families promote the ministry and encourage their kids to get involved?
Absolutely. So first of all, if Campus Life is on your campus, encourage your students to come on out, because it is meant to be for every student. And so we have a list of the schools that we're in currently at our website, yfcirc.com. There are other, for those schools that we're not at, there are other wonderful Christian ministries working with 11 to 19-year-olds, and so find out about those. But if we're in your area, we would absolutely love to be able to serve your kids and give them an opportunity to belong and to think biblically about things, and if they don't know the Lord, to have an opportunity to hear the gospel in a safe place with adult leaders that absolutely care about them.
All right, give that web page a little slower one more time for older ears that might be, maybe they didn't grab their pen quick enough.
Absolutely. So currently we're Youth for Christ, Indian River County. So the website is yfcirc.com.
Amen. How do you pay your bills?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit.
So donations are tax deductible.
Absolutely. We talked about church partnerships, but we love our those that partner with us in so many other ways, whether through volunteering or through partnering with us financially. God has been opening doors for us to be able to step into new schools, new ministry sites, and we trust him for the finances, and he is so faithful to work through his people. And, you know, we pray he continues to raise up those that are going to help us to get to the next ministry site, to the next student, to the next one that wants to.
Do you have a budget idea for a campus, or does it vary so much because of the size of schools? What's an estimated or general budget?
Yeah, that's
budget?
A, great question. So not talking salaries or staffing, it's about $3,000 per school for
per
the
school,
year.
Just for actual expenses there. That doesn't cover any of the salaries for your staffing.
Right.
Well, praise God. Kevin, it's great to have you with us today, and you certainly are doing a great, great ministry, a great work, and we're thankful for that in the community that God has really put missionaries on our campus to minister to our kids, and that's a real place of hope on the campus. I want to close with just a time of prayer for our sons and daughters that, you know, there's a lot of Christian kids that aren't serving God, from Christian homes, I meant to say, from Christian families that are not serving God. And then there's a lot of kids that have not had that exposure at all. And Youth for Christ is on the campus reaching out to both and is being used in a tremendous way to bring the gospel. So we want to just side with you as you lead in prayer as we finish up this time.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Lord, we just thank you so much for your love for these kids. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you don't call us to go and do something for you, but to join you in what you're doing. And we thank you for the amazing ways in which you have worked, even in the schools and in the communities, to reach young people for Christ. And so, Lord, we just pray. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to have your way, that your will be done, that you will be glorified on school campuses and in communities as young people find the hope and the life offered only in Jesus Christ. So we thank you for your grace. We thank you for those that are currently serving. And we thank you for those right now that you are raising up to be a part of your mission to lost young people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Closing thought?
Just so thankful for the opportunity to be here and to share what God is doing. It's one of the greatest things about my job is to give him glory and celebrate what he's doing.
Amen. 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 Any closing question, Dave, from you?
Okay. Actually, everything's been covered. It's just great to know you're doing what you're doing up there, and you have so many people working with you. Praise God.
Praise God.
Dave, why don't you give the phone number out, because we will take the phone call now, and it's going to be the first caller. First caller.
For the tickets.
For the tickets. You have to call and ask for the tickets. We have two tickets available for the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, September the 25th. This is an event that's going to be right here in Palm City, New Hope Church. And Paul Wilbur and his entire team is going to be leading us in an evening of worship and ministry as we stand with Israel in the covenant God has with his people.
And there's two tickets.
Two tickets.
Two tickets. Okay.
Yep.
The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
All right. So give us a call, and we will be happy to get those two tickets to whoever's calling. There's the phone line ringing already. Probably have several more calls coming in, but we'll have more tickets on down the road. We're going to go to a song. We'll be back in just a couple minutes because we have another guest that is standing by with some awesome additional information about reaching kids from communities and across our area and getting them into a great event down at the Miami Heat. So we'll give you more on that in just a moment.
Everybody here looking for revival in our own hearts and across the land. Anybody looking for a revival, lift up your voice and say amen. Lift up your voice and say amen. Anybody here looking for
welcome. This is Wednesday Live. We are looking forward to an event. All right, and we are back on air, and that was the computer saying this is Wednesday Live, and it is Wednesday Live, and we are very much alive, and we are blessed to have our wonderful friend John Nelson with us. John, how are you?
You know, I'm blessed and highly seen.
Blessed.
And I got to think that you're probably blessed and highly favored.
I'm blessed and highly favored. What is it Dave Ramsey says? I'm far better than I deserve.
Yeah,
what
something like that.
What I want to say is everyone listening out there, whether you're having a bad day or some bad luck or a dark clouds following you, you're actually blessed and highly favored too.
That's true, because all of the Father's kids are blessed and highly favored.
Yes, sir.
All right, John, for those of our family who may just hear about Families Recover, because you've been a partner with us now for a while, and we love that partnership. Yes, it helps us cover our costs here and helps us get the word out about what God is doing and what's available to people that are in search of a lifeline. But tell our family first, John, who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
You know, even John Nelson, when we started out at Families Against Drunk Driving 13 years ago, once in some family stuff kind of led to that. Probably 4 years after that, we got together as a group because the opioid epidemic was in full swing, big pharma, killing kids and killing adults. So we decided that we needed to add a name to kind of talk more about what addiction does to and that injures the family. So we decided to add the name familiesrecover.org. And ever since then, we've kind of flown with that title. Because not only one, it covers everything that we're kind of, we do trauma therapy, you know, sober coaching. We've got, thankfully, we've got a community full of professionals. And even if you don't have insurance, you know me, I have gotten away pretty much from paid treatment centers. And we have wonderful, wonderful mental health and drug abuse counseling here for free.
That's awesome.
So, you know, even if it's family trauma, I got a call the other night at 1 o'clock in the morning from the radio station from a lady that was calling me talking about something that was just a family death that was a real big traumatic because they were pretty young. You know, it's God wants us helping everybody. You know, just because we started out as a drug and alcohol entity and added human trafficking, and most people have heard the story of how I lost my wife to that, you know, there's a lot of trauma that leads to addiction. So, I mean, we've really opened up our eyes to the mental health aspect and how it's affecting kids. And now we have a huge problem with housing because we work with a lot of mothers and fathers that have gone through the system and can't get their foster kids out because they can't get an address. You know, our housing for economical housing for people has become critical. We're at a critical level. There's just nothing out there that's cheap, Jonathan. I wish I had $1 billion. I would buy the biggest apartment complex I could and give them free rent, because they could reunite the family. You know, that's just one of the things God put on my heart. And I'm working with a lot of people in the community trying to figure out what can we do, because those kids deserve, you know, I made mistakes. And I'm not, and everyone in this community that knows me as a contractor and or Families Recover knows my story, because I'm pretty transparent about it. And we won't go into the depth of it. But there was a point in my life 15 years ago, I couldn't see my own kids without a sheriff. 16 years ago, and, you know, being able to work through the stuff and the traumas and doing the right thing, I had custodial of my kids pretty quickly. But that's really one of the things that, you know, you talked about the Miami Heat. We do a big Heat trip every year. We used to do three, but finances are tough and tickets aren't cheap. So this last year was our 12th year. We took 250 kids, not just foster kids. We want families, and I hope there's families out there listening. We take two big tour buses down there from here, and we're involved with some foster places down in Palm Beach and Broward County. If, you know, to give them a night out, feed them before they get on the bus. You put them on a tour bus. You ride them down to Miami. Most of these kids have never been to a stadium event because their families couldn't, first off, afford a stadium event. And, you know, they walk in, and the players are walking around, and then there's a lot of interaction with the kids, and then they get to enjoy that, and then they actually get to go down on the court and shoot a basket and then go in the back and actually take pictures with a Heat player. You know, the Miami Heat, and it's not just them. Most pro teams really do a lot with nonprofits. You know, kudos to everyone that does, because it makes it affordable through donations for us to be able to take that amount of kids down. I'm going to try to do 500 this year, but we'll see how the money goes.
Wow.
You know, to see them go into the stadium, we raise enough money to give them $25 each. That's one thing that one of our board members came up with 4 years ago. After the game, we're on the bus riding back north, and he's like, you know, we're really missing it here because these kids are watching the other kids buy a soda, buy popcorn, buy a hat, and they're sitting there without a dollar in their pocket. So we started raising money for that aspect also. We want them to know that they belong, they fit in, and they're loved.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Love is the keynote. I had a mentor in my life passed away about 18 months ago. He used to drill that in my head. There is nothing that enough love can't fix. Mm. And, you know, the older I get and the limitations that have come my way physically, it's the truth. Love conquers everything. Mm.
God so loved that he gave,
family,
didn't he?
You know, Family Recovery's been a member with you guys for a while. Anybody listening that owns a business, if you want some really good coverage, and I'm always plugging people to come on board this because it takes money to run your radio station.
It does.
You know, where are you going to get that kind of advertising, that kind of coverage? I heard you guys all the way to Fort Lauderdale Airport last month. You know, you guys cover a broad, and that's why it's so attractive to us, because we don't have a huge budget for advertising. You know, four times a day, you're plugging by our nonprofit. Let me stay away from my, because it's God's nonprofit.
Right.
And, you know, it takes money. So if you're a business owner and you're looking for a great way, like Luke Lewis and his partner, they came on one time with us, and then they decided to do a radio program.
Right.
You know, it's just wonderful stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of things moving. We're raising money. You know, it's a critical thing because we have super big nonprofits here that take up a lot of money from a lot of donors. So it's a struggle for the smaller guys like us to raise money. But if someone's out there listening right now and you've lost somebody like I did to drug addiction or alcoholism or even a DUI, because I kind of can relate to all of that, you know, sponsoring an event, we're tax deductible. We've been in debt free. None of our people take paychecks. We don't pay our Cadillac car payments. We put the money back towards the ministry. I mean, hopefully one day we'll be able to have an address, but that's not what God's called us to do. Like our friend Keith Masters, we're a street level ministry. We're down there in the streets of Fort Pierce talking to these girls that are trapped in addiction and sex trafficking. You know, we're talking to the kids that don't think that their dad's ever going to change, or their mom, and you see them reunite. We've had people in your radio station that actually get cars given to them by Carol, one of the listeners. They're raising their kids again. You know, there's a lot of success stories out there. Just don't watch the news. Stay off the TV. You know, get into a good radio station like this or any of the other Christian radio stations, and let's start talking about some good news.
Amen. Amen. So, John, what is your budget? You're saying you've been taking 250. You really would like to take 500. That's double what you've been doing. What do you need, and how can people give?
You know, that would probably cap us at about $30,000 with buses and everything.
Okay.
But we try to really try to cut that in half so we can put some of that into our budget. Like I said, we don't take money from this nonprofit. We don't. I don't, and all the other people don't. There's a tank of gas once in a while. But, you know, listen, God, you guys know my story. I was a down and dirty, living on the street convict. And my life today is golden. So everything that we can do school closed, whatever people can, whatever we can do to give back to the community. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be great to be able to have a budget like United Way, but that just isn't what God's done for us yet. Can he? Of course it can. And we've got some things going down in Miami right now that I met through clients that we might be able to raise some funding that'll help us with housing for families. You know, familiesrecovery.org, we're a debt-free 501c3 12 years later. You know, that's hard for most nonprofits to say those words.
It's true.
You know, it's not. It's tough out there. And I'm not, and I don't complain because I love Project Lift and Elevate Hope. We're partners with them. They do amazing things in our community. You know, the trade school aspect of Project Lift is just unbelievable. And now one of the teachers from Dunklin's actually up there teaching electricity. You know, so now we have two ministries working together. I mean, if anybody really wants some success in life and you really want some success with what your mission is, don't be shy of teaming up with another nonprofit. You know, we handle food and stuff with Elevate Hope at Christmas. They call us with families that are in trouble legally. And they're down on the streets and they can't get them to get sober. You know, this is a team. God wants us to play as a team.
You're right.
Teams win.
It's good, John.
So many big nonprofits and so many little nonprofits are so worried that you're going to steal their donations. That ain't what you formed the nonprofit for. This is a team effort. And I'm not saying to take your budget to budget them. You know, and sometimes it's not even money. You know, everyone gets caught up on the financial. You know, taking the burden off somebody that needed housing and you're able to make that phone call, that's service work. You know, you're able to place that family, or you're able to get that person in contact with a counselor that works. You're able to get somebody in the New Horizons, we have great connections up there, she was on the radio with us, they can get their medication straightened out so they can get on with a life. I mean, this is just, and I know I'm all over the place today. I've had some setbacks with my health too, and my kids are all freaked out. But we talked before I went on the radio. You know what? No matter what happens, if God was to close my eyes today, I'm leaving this planet a lot better than I was when I was an active drug addict.
Amen.
You know, I've raised.
And you're bringing a lot with you.
Exactly. You know, and you're not done. You know, I'm involved with AA. I love it. It's what I do. I'm involved with a lot of churches. I'm a minister, street level. You know, we're here to be kind. We're here to give that person that's broken, say, listen, I don't know what I can do to help you, but what can I do to help you? That's what we need back in America.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
People walk past these situations and they're like, oh, you're losing your house. Oh, tough luck. Get a job. Well, what if they had a great job and because of what's going on in the world, they lost their job?
Right, right.
What kind of comparison is that? So, I mean, it's hard. You know as well as I do, your church, David was running a church. You know, 4%, 5% of the congregation give it. There's not a day that goes by that I talk to people on the streets and they say, well, the church is all about money. And I have to hold my breath because I want to tell them, you have no idea how
that's
much
right.
Sacrifice most small churches make to keep the doors open.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, that's
not
right.
Not everybody's at Calvary Chapel.
That's true.
They're not. And there's a lot of they don't listen to. There's a lot of small Calvary Chapel startups that are small, and they struggle. And the people are actually working jobs to keep the door open so they can give the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Well, John, the ministry you do is absolutely valid because it's right here on the east coast of Florida.
We're burying another. We're doing a Memorial Sunday for a friend. Another one dead at 60 from alcoholism. How about two suicide drives? People that had sober time putting guns in their mouth. I mean, the tragedies, and you know, a lot of normal people will look at it and say, well, they made their choice. We don't know what they were going through, first off. We don't. And they did make the ultimate choice. And hopefully God shows some mercy there. I don't know, because I'm not God. You know, just showing a little bit of compassion for people instead of being so holy. There's people in Sewell's Point right now sitting there with vodka in front of them, listening to this radio station like I used to back in the day, listening to 88.1 down in Florida, wondering how I could stop. Sorry. But, you know, I love you guys. FamiliesRecovered.org. We've been an impact partner with you guys for a long time. We talk to everybody about WCNO. If nobody knows, they're not syndicated. That's why we're able to have programs like the Monday and Tuesday programs and the Friday program. We can pretty much talk about the things that are changing in the world. Like President Trump and all of these sheriffs going after all of these pedophiles, that wouldn't have been happening if the Democrats would be in. I guarantee it, because they cut the funding.
Yeah.
How about arresting all of these people and taking back Washington? That wouldn't be happening if our president wasn't in. They love Jesus.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you can bet your butt. I almost cussed right there somewhere. You can bet your butt that the Democratic platform is going to be spending billions of dollars in the next election to unseat the Republicans.
That's right.
That's just what's happening. That's just what's happening. And unfortunately, Big Pharma's right there with them. And I'm hoping that our Congressman Mast and Toby Oberdorf stop taking money from Big Pharma, which they say they don't. But if you look at their books, they do. And that's the biggest problem in America. From 330 dead last night. To opioids. I mean, and that's just, and they want to blame China when our Big Pharma is the biggest drug dealer in the world. You know, they're killing more people than fentanyl. But, you know, that's just for another day. You know, I get adamant about it. That's why I don't get money from the treatment centers, because I don't send people to a Medicaid treatment center. I won't do it. It don't work.
But we bring them to Jesus, John. We bring them to Jesus.
You know, a lot of people, I'm working with a girl right now. She went to New Horizons. She weighed 82 pounds. It was her second time through.
Wow.
And she's having a problem with that. But you know what? 90 days sober and really working with a sponsor that loves Jesus, she's starting to see the light. See, because these people that are damaged, you can't walk right up to them and throw Jesus at them.
Yeah.
You know, they have so much hurt and trauma. The last thing they want to hear you do is go holy on them. You know, it's a process. And Keith Masters will tell you that. We should do a program with Keith and talk about the difficulty of working with street people that have had so much trauma. And I'm not saying it was self-inflicted. Some of them have had stories that are horrific. You know, it takes a minute for them to see the love. And then they can start trusting a little. And then they can start being fed a little bit of the book. You know, it's, I see it happen all the time. You know, people come in and get smashed in the face with Jesus, and all of a sudden they go back to their roots and say, I went down that street, it don't work. See you later.
It works.
That's just from a penny minister like John Nelson.
It works. It works, John. We're out of time, John.
I mean, you guys have been in ministry for a long time. I love you guys.
Love you, too.
Anything I can do to help.
Pray. Pray. Lead us in a moment of prayer. We have about a minute.
Father, we just thank you for finances. Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Finances for the minister that was just on earlier. Finances for us. There's a lot of lives to be saved out there. And we thank you for the blessings, and we thank you for the bad things that go on as well, because it makes us better people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. John, blessings. Thank you for joining us today. We love you. Keep up the good work.
You.
Blessings. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.